Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless.
All right, it's good to be with you. Please grab your Bibles and go with me here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 3 is where we will start. And as you're turning there, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning. It's such an honor to be here with your people, but to be here with you, to watch how you work and reveal your kindness to us. It's just awesome, Lord. I thank you for each person here. We take a moment to just acknowledge that in time you have called us to hear from you. So give us ears to hear. As we are here, let your word go forth and accomplish what you have purposed in your heart, and let the testimony of your children defeat the work that the enemy is trying to do. And we just thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, last month, I had a great honor to talk with you about having hope in God. I'm going to continue on and talk about another aspect of hope in God, and it's called hope to endure. Now, I don't know if you guys are like I am, but there seems to be a phenomenon that goes on in the body of Christ. People meet the Lord Jesus Christ, or they come into a time of renewal, and they get on fire for the Lord. And then as time progresses, things change, circumstances happen in their lives, and they get discouraged. Now, the principle of Scripture, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the principle of Scripture isn't just encounters with the Lord, it's learning to endure to the end and having a certain character as you do that. As I get older in the Lord and walk with him, I begin to realize it's how well you finish, not how well you start. And I'm in a process where the Lord is really trying to work on how I look at the future, how I believe a legacy is left behind for my children, and I'm wanting to be full of hope as I move towards the future. And the world that we live in, there's constant information of evil being given to us, or that there is no hope. And yet we have this rock-solid confession that we should have hope in God, and there are some concrete reasons why. And so we're going to look at that this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's look at 1 Thessalonians again. Chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, it says this. Now, Paul's just finished a prayer. He's talking about being thankful, and he says, constantly bear in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness in hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and the presence of God the Father. Knowing, brothers, beloved by God, he chose you. For our gospel did not come to you with word only, but with in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, you also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, here in a very simple statement, Paul is trying to deal with faith, hope, and love. This is a theme that Paul picks out throughout Scripture. We see it in, obviously, 1 Corinthians. It says that three remain, faith, hope, and love. So now we're going to be looking at hope. Let's give some definition as we did last time. If you weren't here, just for your benefit, what is hope? Well, it tells us in Scripture that hope of the righteous will bring joy. The expectation of the wicked will bring despair. So what does it tell us? Hope is an expectation of something about the future. Now, a lot of people can look at their past and say, God was with me, but what do they expect in the future? We have thousands of years of people walking with God, and they're making commentary for you and I, and this is our time on the planet. And the Bible is now coming and saying to you this, the hope of the righteous will bring joy. And so it's saying that our expectation as people who know the Lord Jesus Christ is based in reality, and because of that, we can become people who live in joy as we live in a fallen world. And I'm amazed on how incredible that dynamic is for you and I, that there's this joy that we get to experience now, even though we live in a place that looks like it's coming to nothing. As we were worshiping, I don't know if you guys ever do this, but I watch worship sometimes. Sometimes I watch worship, the Lord talks to me during worship, or I just engage in worship. And I was watching today, and I was realizing a reality of this idea of being full of hope and joy. Your bodies might be decaying, but your spirit is alive unto God. And what that means is, what's going on in heaven, you're tasting right now. The only thing you're going to do when you die is drop the decaying body off. You get to experience what is in the future right now. And the Bible says because of that reality, you could be full of joy because there are certain things about what's going on in heaven and what's going on in your heart that brings a reality to you that you can stand when it's difficult to stand in any other place. And so now it's the Bible is saying, well, if we're going to endure, how does hope play into this? Well, the first thing we see when we look at the passage is this, is that God called you. And so the idea that you know Jesus Christ is God had called you and looked for you. It's this idea of the pursuit of you. God passionately pursued each one of you and called you by name. And because of that, it shows what we call a determination of God towards you. Now, a lot of times in our Christian experience, we're always talking about, well, what do we need to do to walk the Christian life? Well, the most amazing thing is that first and foremost, we need to come to a reality of this. God called you. In fact, Jesus says that you didn't come to God. God called you, and he called you to go and bear fruit. So it's his work alive in you that's going to produce the reality of hope. I remember when the Lord started trying to deal with me about this whole idea of thinking about living in hope. And it came to the idea of the fact that I noticed that my wife had all kinds of joy and I didn't. It caused me to be frustrated by that. And I believe it was on purpose the Lord made me notice that. Because I was lacking in something that is supposed to be normal as a believer. Full of hope, full of joy. The first place that we establish our hope isn't just in the promises of God. It's in the fact that God had, from eternity past, created you to know him. And then in time, he came and called you to himself so that you could know him intimately and enjoy him forever. So from God's position, you've already won because he's already invested in you. When I was thinking about this as I was getting ready this morning, a lot of you know that I was actually born and raised here in Colorado. I went to a college in Denver. That was one of the colleges I went to. And the weekend that I came to the Lord, when I reflect on it now, the way that God pursued me amazed me. I go to this church service, never been in church before. They give this altar call. I go up. No one comes and prays with me. I get up, and I'm trying to figure out what that is. And I have to get on a bus ride to go back to Denver, Colorado. My family was in Pueblo. And if you've ever done a bus ride from Pueblo, Colorado to Denver, it seems like it's not that far because we're in cars and we get to go 80 or 90 miles an hour. But a bus ride stops in like everybody's house between here and Denver, Colorado. I mean, it took like 3 hours. I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't even know certain cities outside of Colorado Springs or in the north end of Colorado Springs until we got to Denver. I just thought, man, this is the longest trip. Well, the whole entire trip, I kept having this Jesus issue come up in my mind. Okay, I've got to resolve, who is Jesus? And all of a sudden, these images are coming into my mind of me waking up on Sunday morning. This is what I used to do. I wasn't raised. I didn't go to church when I was being raised. And so on Sunday morning, they used to have Bugs Bunny on. But I'd have to wake up at 6 in the morning to go down and watch it. And so I would sneak downstairs, because my parents always got frustrated with me by getting up. And this image is going through my mind. I'm sneaking downstairs, and I'm turning the television on. And there's this guy on there. It was every Sunday. It just cracked me up. And he would cry. I was coming to the end of his program, and he's always crying, and he's talking about Jesus. And he's crying about it. And I went like, I wonder who the... every week I kept waiting, when is he going to bring this guy out so we can see why he's crying about him all the time? This is how you view things as little children. And then I watch Bugs Bunny. Well, as I'm on my way back up to Denver, I'm thinking about that guy. He's crying about Jesus, who's a dead man. Why would someone be crying about someone who is dead? Now, at this point, my girlfriend, who became my fiance, who became my wife, had been talking to me about Jesus, and she had been pointing me to, why don't you go read the Gospels? I had tried to read the Bible before, and I tried to read it like a novel, and by the time you get to Deuteronomy, you don't know what in the world they're talking about, and I just gave up. And so she said, well, why don't you go ahead and read John? And so I'm on my way going back, and I have to stop at the bus station and walk to my apartment. So I'm walking through downtown Denver, and I'm just thinking about what is life really about. I get to my apartment. I get in there. My roommates aren't there. And so I pull out the Bible, and I start reading the Gospel of John. And as I'm reading it, I notice that someone's in the room with me. And we used to play practical jokes in my apartment, so I was always waiting for a water balloon to hit me or something like that. And so I kept sensing that someone was in the room with me, and so I'd get up and go look around the apartment to figure out where they were hiding and couldn't find anybody and go, wow, that's strange. And then I'd sit down and start reading some more. Finally, I get to this point where it says in Matthew that though you even know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him for the Holy Spirit? Now, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't even know what prayer was. I watched people pray. I didn't understand why they always put their heads down. I didn't understand all that. So I'm praying a prayer, and I'm saying, well, God, if you're actually real, and you'll reveal yourself to me, and I'm trying to figure out where I even got that language. It's probably from the Lord. I'll follow you all the days of my life. I have this encounter where the power of the Lord actually comes on my head, literally goes through my body. It's so strong, I fall over sideways. I'm glad someone's laughing at that. I fall over sideways. And God literally, his voice just appears in the room with me and audibly speaks to me, and he says, hello, Brian. And when he said, hello, Brian, my heart became alive to God was real and that he's loving. And then I never hardly tell this part, but then I spent the next literally hour being delivered and going through repentance. God was delivering me of this sin, this bondage, this thing. I mean, it was just awesome. It was difficult, but it was awesome by the time I got up. Now, with that points to something that God has done in your life. God had pursued you. He had called you by his name. There's a hope to the reality that God is working in you. Now, the passage actually says, not only is God do that at one time, it's now the Holy Spirit's job in you to constantly produce hope. So how do we have hope? I don't know about you guys, but I've always tried to do this. I think I've shared that in my past, I went to a Christian bookstore one time, and I just bought 9 Bible studies by the Navigators on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I read the first one, found out I didn't have any love, so I put that one away, and then I read joy, and I found out I didn't have that, and I put it away, and peace, I didn't have that, and by the time I got done, am I saved? I went and saw a counselor. I read all these things about the fruit of the Spirit. I have none of these. I don't even know if I know the Lord. And he's laughing. Yeah, you know the Lord. It's just a work. Now, this is God's work in us. There's this tension that you and I live through of trying to be faithful, and yet it's God who actually gives us hope. There have been times in my life, and to say this isn't probably the best way, but to be honest with you, serving people and serving the Lord, sometimes you just run into difficult seasons. And I think, I don't know if Chris would ever stand up and say this, but I think in ministry, full-time ministry, I've quit at least 1,000 times. Honestly. And it's not because I don't like what I do or anything. There's just certain circumstances that we all go through. There's a tribulation of living on this planet that we go through. And in my immaturity, in my younger years, I always thought this way. Now, I don't know if you guys think like this, but, you know, I think, well, you meet Jesus, and it's just awesome, and then you die, and it's more awesome. And there's never a struggle, there's never tribulation, there's never persecution. In fact, that's odd if it should be happening to me. Or there's people that believe, well, all of it is just persecution and tribulation, and, oh, my goodness, where's the Antichrist? I mean, there's usually the two extremes. Well, it's somewhere in the middle, isn't it? God and you are going to have impact, but you're going to have obstacles. And those obstacles define people, don't they? We evaluate things that get in our way. Well, I don't think that was fair that God allowed this situation to come in my life. So I'm going to now lose all hope and embrace discouragement. And that's what happened to me. I went through a season of working for a ministry, and I got caught in a situation where the staff was complaining about a lot of stuff and the founder of it was complaining a lot of stuff, and I just felt like I was right in the middle. And then there was all kinds of tension going on in my personal life, and it was just overwhelming. And I went to bed one night, And I'm just telling the Lord, I think I'm done. I really think I'm done. And I'm planning on how to quit the next day and go apply at McDonald's. By the way, I'm not putting McDonald's down. That's my go-to job. And so if the Lord ever takes me out of ministry, I really want to be the guy at the drive-thru window going, now, is that a Big Mac and a large fry? I mean, okay, so it's not a put-down. So I'm laying in bed, and I'm just, man, Lord, and I'm not telling him how frustrated I'm in it. I'm just kind of like, this is it. And I was telling the people last night when we were talking about prayer and dreams. I go to bed, and I'm stressed out. I mean, I had a hard time getting to sleep. And you guys, you know, have you ever seen rugs that they roll up, and they're like in this rolled up state? And when people like kind of go like that, they flap out, and then you can just kind of walk on them. Well, I'm having this experience in this dream where I see this rolled up carpet, and it's in heaven. And something unrolls it, and it rolls down right to my feet, and it's red. And I'm looking at it down by my feet, and then I look up, and the Lord Jesus is standing right there. And the minute I looked up at him, I caught his eyes. And when I caught his eyes, they were so full of love, there was no words I could say. I just started weeping. And he starts walking towards me, and actually, I wasn't happy he was. I was afraid, like, man, I have let you down, Lord. I mean, I have tried to be faithful, but it's just not working, and I'm ready to give up, and I can't say anything. I'm just literally weeping. And he walks down, and he just kind of puts his arms around me. And as he's doing it, all the questions I have, they're not being answered, but they're lifting off my soul. And I'm just being bathed with the love of God. My wife the next morning asked me, what was going on with you last night? She said, at one point you started weeping intensely, and then in a sense you started convulsing in the sense that you started shaking violently. And she goes, what in the world was going on? And I said, I was trying to figure out theologically, can you really see the Lord in a dream? Or was that just a symbolic thing? Yeah, I'm always technical. I'm always trying to figure this stuff out. When he drew near to me, he restored something that I was longing for, hope. It is the Holy Spirit's job to come to you at difficult times, and it's not your job to try to overcome it. It's his job to meet you and help you overcome it. You have an ever-present help with you. And he's going to pursue you at critical times in your life, and he's going to give you hope. The thing that we have to be aware of is that we're not holding on to something so tightly that when he's trying to give us hope, we don't embrace it. I think when God's trying to nurture us back to life, he gives us what do we call a wooing response. He knows each one of our hearts, and he goes to that place where he knows we love receiving his love. And what he does is he calls us that direction. Now, the scripture says that as we pursue hope, if we're going to endure, we have to recognize that we've been called, that the Holy Spirit is working with us, and then ultimately it's his job to get us there. And so he's now saying, so let go of the things that keep you from enjoying the journey and decide these seasons are over. I had a lady call me up. I think I shared this with you. I had a lady call me up. She had been serving in ministry for over 30 years, and she basically said the same thing. I've had it. I'm not going to do this anymore. And she lived in northern Minnesota. I told this last month. She lived in northern Minnesota, and she comes down, and I don't know what to do with her. I mean, I was debating that week if I was going to quit too. And so she's coming, and she's beginning to talk to me about all the things that have happened by serving people that have just discouraged her. And the Lord gave me just this simple concept. It just kind of profoundly blew me out of the water. He said, you need to look at seasons in your life, and you need to look at seasons where the enemy has tried to take you out and make you embrace discouragement, and you also need to look in those seasons what God had been doing to embrace you. And you have to decide in your heart, it's time to let this, the things that the enemy was trying to do, it's time to let them go. Because those things are weights that we put on our back. And they keep us from running. Now, what is the possibility for you and I on this side of eternity when it comes to hope? Well, we just heard a testimony. This is what it's like to meet a miracle-working God. Now, does he do miracles, and does he restore hope? Is that just like every once in a while, or is that normal? Think with me just for a moment. If you and I would let go of discouragement and learn to embrace when God draws near to give us hope, you're going to find a satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ that you would never have. Now, here's what God's trying to do with you and I today and with our hearts. Sometimes our value system gets set apart into the wrong thing. And so we lose hope because our focus becomes temporal instead of eternal. Okay, you're offered jewels all the time. Think about it this way. The greatest jewel that we can be given is the jewel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the life that comes from the kingdom of God. But you have people running around all the time trying to give you a lesser jewel. Well, this one's more shiny, and it looks like a new car. Or it looks like popularity, or it looks like people's affirmation. Do you want it? And it's really not even a jewel, it's just fake glass. It'll never satisfy you. And you and I have seasons in our life where we have to take those things and we have to say, all right, am I really living for temporal things, and have I lost perspective on eternal? I hear this. Do you guys ever hear this? They're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. So heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I think about that. If you're truly heavenly minded, you're actually going to be earthly good because you're living correctly. If you're earthly minded, you're no good to anybody. You're self-focused. And out of that, it bears nothing that brings peace, joy, love, or hope. And so today, I feel like God just wants to come and say he's here with us and he wants us to let his embrace of hope come again. So would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here as a very much honored guest. Bring your very presence to each person. Only you, through your great mercy and love, can restore hope. Would you bring your mercy and your love towards our hearts? Lord, anything that we're holding on to that just doesn't reflect what is best from you, would you help us let it go in your presence? Would you begin to not only infuse us with hope, but would you bring it up to the standard that you have in Scripture for us? Not just little glimpses of hope, but a cascading river of hope inside our soul. I thank you for each person here, and we already have confidence that you called us, so we know you're going to do this, and so we just stand here and say, thank you, Lord. That wherever we're at, you will meet us. We have your word, we have your testimony behind it. And we're grateful for it, Lord. Now, bless them, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.